Hey everyone, welcome to Comedy History 101. We have a brand new episode for you today on the history of Spuds McKenzie. What? That name sounds familiar. Why don't we listen and find out more? Before we jump into the episode, a few things to plug. On April 16th, in New York City at the Tribeca Film Festival, Scott and I will be premiering our new film, Betrayal. Hopefully, fingers crossed, that the festival won't be canceled. Ooh, it's scary times. Also, next Thursday, March 19th, 7 p.m. at the Red Room, I have my monthly storytelling show, Tale, bringing you New York City's finest storytelling. Once again, ooh, scary times. Let's hope it's not canceled. And before we jump into the episode, take some time to like, subscribe, and comment on Comedy History 101, either on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcast, or even on our site, comedyhistory101.com. And without further ado,
you're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Good thing about doing comedy in Russia, you have captured audience.
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Comedy History 101.
What a weird ass commercial.
Yeah. They're just kind of odd when you look at them now.
Yeah, so what you just heard there was an excerpt from a TV commercial from the late 80s that featured one Spuds McKenzie, the Ayatollah party mania.
I know, man. He was the Ayatollah of Partyola. Was that it?
I think so. Yeah. And of course, you've tuned into another episode of
Comedy History 101,
where we school you in comedy. I am Harmon Leon. With me, corona-free virus from now, Scott Kalonico. Scott, how are you?
I'm talking to you behind a mask, Harmon. Can you hear me? Can you hear me okay? I've disinfected the microphone.
Oh, yeah. Okay, let me just adjust my earphones with my surgical gloves on my hands.
Don't be sure to pass me the sanitizer.
Oh, I need to wipe off this microphone.
Yeah, watch it.
For the next podcast that comes in. And you know what that podcast is?
What's that?
The History of Notebooks. It's a three-parter. So Scott, when you hear the words Spuds McKenzie, what comes to mind?
Oh, man, Harmon. Good times and stuffed plushies suitable for young children. Of dogs selling alcohol.
and sexy women who are infatuated by a dog?
Yeah, the Spudettes, as they were known as.
So, Scott, I would have to say you are correct on all accounts that, yes, Spuds McKenzie was a fictional dog character created for the Bud Light beer campaign in the late 80s.
There he is. What a happening dude.
They're a super party animal. Yeah. His name is Spuds McKenzie. A barbecue inside.
Do-do-do, a barbecue.
And a cold Bud Light.
A cold Bud Light.
So, Scott, this just to blow your mind.
All right.
This was long before dogs could be Instagram sensations.
Really? It was like the first social media dog.
And the ultimate party animal.
Yeah, the Ayatollah of Partyola. I'll do some fact checking.
He had a lot of different monikers there.
Sorry, not to interrupt, but that is in fact correct. He was the Ayatollah of Partyola.
Of course he was. Okay. And so describe what Spuds McKenzie looked like for our listeners.
Well, he was a bull terrier dog, and kind of these dogs kind of have an elongated face. And Spuds had the unique marking of a spot over one of his eyes, which actually is one of the first things that led to him being discovered.
All right. So that's it? That's it? Nothing else with the dog? Would he wear human clothes at all?
Well, later on, but not at the beginning.
No, he always had like sort of like a Hawaiian shirt.
Well, now Harmony, he would also wear tuxedos. I've seen him in tuxedos in a couple of these videos. And he also wore a cowboy hat in the Texas one.
So he wore like human clothes. So I guess the way they described him, he was sort of like a cross between Bruce Willis and John Belushi.
All right, yeah, man.
So Spuds became a marketing sensation quicker than you can say what, Scott? You want to say it together on three?
Okay.
One, two, three.
This Spuds for you.
So, according to an Anheuser-Busch marketing executive, the best way to describe Spuds McKenzie is, he's not a dog, he's an executive. He is the senior party consultant for Bud Light. He's the guru of good times, the granddaddy of get down, the grand poobah of partyometry.
And the
party. Wait, sorry. I'm throwing up my innards from that 1980s ad bad copy that was probably written in under 10 seconds.
He's the Ayatollah of partyola, dude.
Yes, we've covered that saying already.
I'm going to keep bringing it up because it's the best one.
So basically, to sum up the Spuds McKenzie character, he was rich, impossibly cool, unabashedly heterosexual, and responsible for increasing Bud Light sales by 20% between 1987 and 1988. Oh, that's very short time, you know, if you think about, say, the Beatles were only, you know, making hits for about, like, 7 years. Spuds, like, his whole reign was really, a one-year sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, it was really, because it kind of went into 89 is how long he was around.
No spoiler alerts.
Okay, I won't. Okay, no spoiler alerts. So, well, and we have the proto-Spuds. So I guess we can get to that in a little bit. I'll let you lead the way.
So how did, like, Spuds McKenzie come about?
Well,
how did the campaign?
I'm glad you asked, because the Spuds McKenzie campaign was created by a 23-year-old art director by the name of John Moore. He was working at the big advertising agency Needham, Harper, and Steers up in Chicago. Now, that's kind of the key to this whole thing, the agency was in Chicago, and the gentlemen, they were looking around for somebody to kind of promote in their new ad, and they spotted Spuds at a local dog show, or the Spuds to be.
The Bull Terrier. Yes.
Yeah, the Bull Terrier. So, because Spud is not his real name.
Don't spoil it.
Okay.
There's a crying game twist to all this that we don't want to give away. Scott, anyways, do you know anything about Needham, Harper, and Steers? Because we one of our previous episodes, two episodes here ago on Comedy History 101, we did the history of Where's the Beef?
Also great.
The ad campaign Where's the Beef, which was also a Chicago ad agency. Was that the same ad agency?
I don't know. Do you want me to check while we're...
Actually, I did just Google it. It wasn't.
Okay, all right.
But do you know anything more about Needham, Harper, and Steers?
I've heard of them, so I think they were probably...
They did a Honda commercial. That was their big thing. But, you know, their big client was Anheuser-Busch that made Bud Light.
Yeah, so Bud Light, which... you know, I am a fan of the beer, and I'll have to say Bud Light is not a good beer. They're actually called, so Needham now is actually, they're called DDB Worldwide. That's their new name.
Just kind of a big madman. Yeah, just a big, huge Chicago agency on State Street or whatever the big street is in Chicago.
Yeah, they've been around for a long time.
He's Spuds McKenzie, Bud Light's original party animal.
So Spud, he started several commercials where inevitably you would see him at such locales as a beach, a pool, a bar. He was the object of everyone's respect and worship. And basically, the underlying premise of almost every Spuds McKenzie commercial was... Once Spuds arrived, the party began.
Look, here he comes.
That's a super party animal.
McKenzie.
Bud McKenzie.
A real hot night and a cold Bud Light. Put some in a party frenzy.
Or there's a twist in one of them. In the ski lodge.
What's that?
In the ski lodge one, the party's already started, and then the people arrive, and they go, oh, great, Spud's here. Did you watch that one where he's playing the guitar?
Was that the one that they made after, in response, drink responsibly?
Yeah, that was one of the...
We'll get to that. Yeah. So essentially, the go-to formula for a classic Spuds McKenzie commercial, which was usually featured on the Super Bowls, was Spuds would show up at a party, everyone would be thrilled to see Spuds, especially the women, and then the narrator would provide a little wraparound, which usually the voiceover was Robin Leach from Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous.
Yeah, so that was the immediately then... That would link Spud in your mind to the lifestyle of the rich and famous.
So, Scott, did it just end there? Was this people were just like, all right, I just like watching these commercials. That's fun. I guess I'll just have to wait till the next Spuds McKenzie commercial. Because that's the only place I could see him.
Let's put it this way: Spuds is everywhere. He was on dorm posters. As I mentioned, he was a stuffed animal offered at Macy's. He was like you could buy stickers. Spuds was ubiquitous in the late 80s.
Oh, and not only was the ad campaign so popular that Miller Lite, the rivals of Anheuser-Busch, released a T-shirt that featured a dead dog run over by a Miller Lite truck.
Oh, that's horrible.
Was that funny in a funny way?
I don't know. They're preaching the hate. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So not only that, so you mentioned he appeared on he was also on Good Morning America. He was on Dick Clark Live.
Yeah, and he was also, here's the interesting thing. So since, I think probably this is kind of where he kind of started to get his start was he... Spuds did a guest spot on the Tom Dreesen show, which was a local Chicago.
Yep, and we've talked about Tom Dreesen here before on the history of the comedy store strike, which he was sort of the union organizer.
Yeah.
Spuds, you know,
he's listening.
Spuds, you're like a lot of party animals I know, only you're a little bit less hairy, you know. By now, Spud, I mean, you're a major star, Spud. You've been around the world. You've gone everywhere. What does it all smell like to you, Spud?
Tom Dreesen, the comedian?
Yeah.
So and Tom Dreesen, by the way, he was also partners with who? A comedy team.
Tim Reed from WKRP Cincinnati, yes. Yes.
And after our episode on the Comedy Store Strike, we actually got a comment from Tom Dreesen.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
On our episode.
That's right. Well, thanks, Tom. Yeah. So you can also see this clip. We'll put this clip in our in the article on Comedy History 101 where you can see Tom Dreesen of the Comedy
Store. So that's where he got to start by appearing because that was a Chicago-based
I would say that's probably one of those soft rollout things where they were trying it. The people knew who he was. You know, I wonder if they tried to start it local and to see how it went. Kind of like with as we mentioned in the other episode about Where's the Beef?
With what? With Where's the Beef?
Well, they started they did a local version.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
They did a local. Beef. Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, they did a local test version of the Where's the Beef that didn't work. So, you know, I'm thinking they kind of roll these things out like this.
Where is all the beef?
Yeah, where is the beef?
I have emphysema. Make less words.
You'll give beef.
And to get that inside joke, you need to tune back into our back catalog of the history of Where's the Beef.
Yes.
Oh, by the way, Spuds McKenzie, another thing, you know, you said he's the Ayatollah of Partiola. Uh-huh. He was also on a poster at the Dean of Partyology.
Oh, man, he had a lot of titles. He had a lot of titles.
Yeah, that was awesome. And he was on the College Hall of Fame. So when he on the poster in the print ad campaign, he was pouring a beer out of a tap as the Dean of Partyology.
Yeah, he can do. I mean, the one I like the one where he's where he's not slalom skiing. He's doing the ski jump. That one's pretty good. And then also there's one where he's doing the pole vault.
So Scott, we mentioned that he was not the only one in his TV commercials. There was also the Spudettes.
Right, the Spudettes.
So did the women like Spud McKenzie? And also, did this present just kind of a problematic logistic?
What do you mean?
Kind of like all these women were just sort of, just over static over Spuds McKenzie.
Yeah, I mean, it's very problematic. I mean, of course.
Okay, dude, what I'm saying is there was a slight bestiality sort of thing running through it.
Really?
That was the point I was trying to get.
I didn't catch that, but sure, I'll go with it.
Well, they riffed on the idea that sex sells. So they had the Spudettes were a brigade of actresses and models who never left Spud McKenzie's side. They were always seen like hot tubbing together or coming out of a limo with Spuds McKenzie. And the Spudettes were part of the key of Spud McKenzie's success. And they became a phenomenon in their own right.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're part of it. I mean, it was definitely, you know, they were like his crew, though. I don't know if they're actually, like, you know, doing the deed with Spuds. I never got that. I never made that connection.
I was listening to an Adam Carolla podcast clip that was on YouTube about Spud McKenzie, and he kind of went off on that for about like 5 minutes.
Why is it, you know, I mean, it was like, girl. The 80s were such a great coke-fueled time where Spuds McKenzie would like come into a bar and all these hot chicks would be like, ooh, Spuds. Like,
I know.
What are you going to do, suck off a dog? Like, what? You want to fuck a dog?
It. Yeah, I know.
Really? It was tough for me who wasn't getting laid at the time. Like, if they would fuck this dog before they fucked me.
Really? Okay. Well, I mean, fair enough. I mean, that's if some people won't go that.
So way. I'm just saying that was like part of the weirdness of the Spuds McKenzie thing. So the posters of Spud and the Spudettes were the most popular pinups in the country at the time, outdistancing themselves from poster number two in popularity. Can you guess, Scott? Alf.
He eats cats on Melmac.
Yeah, so like I said, the Spudettes had their own sort of popularity and success that one Sir Mix-a-Lot, who wrote the hit Baby's Got Back, you know that song, right?
Right, yes, of course.
Was in response to the Spud McKenzie girls, who Sir Mix-a-Lot said were little skinny chicks looking like stop signs with big hair and skinny bodies.
Oh, man. So, man, because he, like, Sir Mix-a-Lot likes the back, as he would say.
Yeah, more cushion for your pushing.
Exactly, dude.
Also, nearly every time you turned on the TV during that era, there was a sporting event. There would be Spuds water skiing, skateboarding, lounging by a pool with a bevy of babes, appearing on Good Morning America, throwing out the first pitch at the National League playoff games.
He would take limousines wherever he would go. I was just double checking some limousine footage of Spud there. I was trying to find an actual clip of Spud's doing the first pitch of the spring season, but I can't seem to find that.
So Scott, if this was like a VH1 Behind the Music,
right?
This is where things start going wrong.
Okay. Talk to me.
So at the height of his popularity, there began to have death rumors about Spuds McKenzie.
Okay, that's like you said, that's when you know you've done something good.
Yeah, so concerned fans would call the marketing department at Anheuser-Busch. They were concerned that, you know, maybe he was electrocuted in a hot tub incident soaking with the Spudettes, or he died in a limo crash. So rumors started getting around of Spud's death. But yet, Scott, and here's plot point two, as we veer into the second act of this Spuds McKenzie tale, there is a lot of controversy also with the ads.
Okay, well, talk to me. What do you got? Well, you see, first of all, we had one of our old favorites here at Comedy History 101, Senator Strom Thurmond. he had his own media campaign. He was claiming that the beer maker was using Spuds to appeal to children for the purposes of getting them interested in their product at an early age. And an example of this would be, do you remember the cigarette character Joe Camel?
Yeah, because they were trying to get children involved with smoking at an early age.
Yep. It was kind of like that.
I think there's a little bit of truth behind that. I mean, I think if you look at like your Mad Men sort of planning boards, it's like very little is left to chance.
Yeah.
So Spuds McKenzie, you had all these kids wearing Spuds McKenzie t-shirts and they had the Spuds McKenzie posters. So you're just kind of... Well, I guess you would call it in marketing speak. You're building brand awareness.
Yeah, it's brand awareness, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So you don't necessarily want them to be drinking your product yet. Of course not, until they're of legal age. But you're letting them, yeah.
Yeah, and so they're just going, yeah, one day when I can drink, I'm going to get shit-faced like Spuds McKenzie.
Yeah, but Spud knows how to enjoy things responsibly, Armin.
Yeah, so the funny thing is when Strom Thurmond pleaded the case that, beer makers were using Spuds to appeal to the children, he did this while standing in front of a huge poster featuring the Ayatollah of Partiola himself, Spuds McKenzie.
Awesome, dude. Well, maybe like,
Which is, that's very Orwellian.
Yeah.
And also more controversy by Christmas 1987, there was more legal action resulted when Budweiser's use of the ads featuring Spud dressed as Santa Claus, that was actually illegal under Ohio liquor laws.
Okay.
Well, first of all, how fucking uptight is Ohio? I don't know if they still have it, but they had liquor laws forbidding the use of Santa Claus to promote alcohol.
Okay.
Spuds McKenzie dressed up as Santa Claus.
Yeah, you can't do that, man. Was he Santa Claus or was he just wearing like a fringe?
First of all, Santa.
Yeah.
Fictional character, right?
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So.
What do you mean? He's a fictional character?
Yeah, him and Jesus, yeah. Right. Yeah. But second of all, Spuds McKenzie is a dog.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think, first of all, people are going to confuse that's the other fictional character,
right,
Santa.
Okay.
But according to Ohio liquor laws, they said that's illegal to have anyone dressed as Santa promoting alcohol.
Okay, well, that's all right. Well, I can get behind you on that, Ohio. That's fine.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
In 1989, the Center for Science in the Public Interest, along with Mothers Against Drunk Driving, alleged that Anheuser-Busch was pitching the dog, Spuds McKenzie, mm-hmm. to children as well.
Well, do you know what they did, Harmon?
Please do tell.
I will tell you. In fact, so what Anheuser-Busch wound up doing was they took their $50 million Spuds McKenzie campaign and they changed it to a responsible drinking initiative. So this is the commercial I was talking about earlier, where Spud is already at the party playing guitar and people come in. This is from Super Bowl 33, and this is a 15-second spot where there's no there was no beard to be seen at all whatsoever in the commercial, and it's Spud's playing guitar, and then the tagline comes up at the end. Was no one to
drink responsibly.
Do you know why Spuds McKenzie has so much fun at parties? Because he's always in control. He knows how to make the party last. It takes good sense to have a good time. Spuds knows it's cool to live by one simple rule. Know when to say when.
See, you know, okay, good message, but I just never understand when, like, alcohol companies, you know, companies that sell stuff like that, you know, say, don't take our products.
Basically, they're saying, yeah.
No, they're no, it's like, okay, we gotta, with chagrin, they always put those out. But that was after the lawsuits. But that was sort of like the end of Spuds McKenzie in a way.
Yeah, that was pretty much it. They kind of pulled the plug after that. And then there's also,
but then yes. Then dude, then there's the big reveal.
Yeah, the crying so, game.
Yeah. This whole time, we have heterosexual Spuds McKenzie. You know, and all the Spudettes are just fawning all over him. Tell us what happened, Scott.
Well, it turned out that an enterprising...
Why don't you just read the headline from the Chicago Tribune?
Well, I was going to say, there's a build-up to it. There's like an enterprising young cub reporter, let's say, on the Chicago Tribune went out and dug the dirt on Spuds. And you know what they found out, Harmon? This is the headline that was in the ran of the Chicago Tribune. It's, quote, Spuds is a dud as a party guy. He's a girl, unquote.
Ah, so the dog that women adored, that appeared to be male, was actually portrayed by a female bull terrier who went by the name Honey Tree Evil Eye.
Or Evie.
I think Evie for short. Sure. Yeah. So in the scoop about the party dog's real gender... they also featured, oh man, they doxed them. So in that story, they also revealed the owner's full address.
Exactly. Yep.
That's just messed up.
Whoops.
Yeah, I mean, couldn't you be the lawsuit on that?
Yeah, nowadays, yeah, totally. Yeah.
So again, they spotted Evie, you know, at a bull terrier dog show, and they kept it a secret that the dog... Spuds McKenzie was actually, you know, Jane McKenzie. I don't know. What would be the female sort of equivalent of Spud?
Yeah. Jane's pretty good.
Spam?
Yeah. Spam.
But okay, so that pulled the plug on the 1989 kind of, you know, you would have to say it was a good run for Spuds McKenzie because he's one of the most iconic, icons of all time.
I mean, he's still good. It's still the thing.
Some
is
up there with the Clara. Where's Clara? Where's the beef?
Yeah, it's one of those '80s iconic ads. What was interesting was when I was we were doing a little research during our research for this. The beer company Stroh's had also been using a dog in their advertising, but they'd actually started as early as 1984.
Mm.
Yeah, so they were actually...
What was that dog like?
His name was Alex, and he was a half retriever, half Irish setter. I know that off the top of my head.
Was he the Ayatollah Partiola?
I don't know. I don't know if he had... Alex from Stroh's had any official titles like Spud did, but...
Do we have any video on her?
Oh, yeah, dude, it's in the... It's in the document.
Okay.
It's in all right, the trial card. And actually, these commercials, they were pretty big in their own right. And then also, but it was interesting because Stroh's started out first. And then after Spuds caught up, they actually, Stroh's went back and did a retro commercial where they were in turn making fun of Spuds.
Alex will now do his famous dog impersonation. Grab a Stroh light, relax.
Ready, Alex?
All right, who's this?
Rin Tin Tin!
Exaggerator. Look at this.
This is my favorite.
Benji.
Oh, I don't know how he does it.
It's amazing.
Stroh Light, fire brewed for smooth, consistent taste.
No, you reach up to
what?
Who's that supposed to be?
Beats me.
So the punchline is
tell them the punchline.
The punchline is so in the commercial that you can't see, good listeners. Alex the dog comes out. He'll disappear behind a door, and he comes out as a completely different dog breed. He does an impression of Rin Tin Tin at Benji. This is it was a dog movie from the 70s. If those of you who are not old enough, or probably weren't even born yet. But then the last thing. Then Alex comes out as he comes out as Spuds McKenzie, and none of the gentlemen can recognize him.
That's right. But also, Spud McKenzie lives on. He's been referenced to on an episode of The Simpsons. Have you seen that episode?
I think so. Is that the one where Homer opens a club?
Yes.
Okay.
I couldn't find a clip of it, but have you seen it?
Are you sure? Why is the club called Lindsay Nagel?
It was a dance club in town called, I don't know.
Yeah,
I guess I could Google it.
So it is referenced. He is referenced in there.
There's a couple episodes of The Family Guy where they have Spuds McKenzie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they love referencing him.
You're a big canine star. They should be treating you like Spuds McKenzie.
Yeah, I wonder what he's doing now.
Now, ladies, approach him slowly. He can't really see anymore. I've injected him with the Viagra. Now, I'm going to roll him on his back, but you're pretty much going to have to do 100% of the work.
I want to debunk and unbunk something. So if you go to Spud's IMDb, he's only got two listings in there. He's got one listing for a TV show called Half Nelson. Well, actually, it was a 1985 show for that was a star vehicle for Joe Pesci. Pesci.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And Victoria Jackson from Saturday Night Live. And it had.
Oh, she's the nutty one, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And it had.
That completely. Yeah. Okay.
And it featured a bull terrier dog in it, but it was not Spuds. I can say it was definitely wasn't Spud because it was, they must have filmed it all.
It wasn't Evil Eye Evie?
It wasn't Evie. Yeah, because she didn't have a spot on her eye, and they must have filmed it in L.A. because the whole show is about Joe going to L.A. and making it big. So if you can find that clip online, you can verify that it's not Spud's. But one thing we did see, so there was also another movie called Rented Lips. Is that what we called it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was the movie. Actually done by Robert Downey Sr., like one of his 80s
the
movies.
The filmmaker.
Yeah, with actually Robert Downey Jr. does appear in the movie. Actually, there's a lot of comedy people in this movie.
What year is that?
It's from 88. And so.
Okay, because Robert Downey Sr., I believe, directed Robert Downey Jr. in, I believe, The Pickup Artist with Molly Ringwald.
Yeah, that was like the year before. I think that was like 87. Yeah. Yeah, so this is like kind of his indie movie he wanted to do. But some big comedy luminaries in there, actually. Couple guys from – actually, two – the premise is a lot like The Producers, and they actually have two of the guys from The Producers in it, like Dick Shawn.
Who?
Dick Shawn.
Oh, okay. Dick Shawn's great, yeah.
And the – who was the Nazi guy? Kenneth Mars. He's in it too.
Oh, yeah. I love the original Producers.
Yeah, it stars Martin Mull. Who we know here from Comedy History 101.
Oh, wow.
And just kind of, the movie looked okay. It's got dancing Nazis in it and stuff. So I scanned through it looking for Spuds. I didn't see Spud in there at all. But I do see him, he is listed in the credits. So he's in the movie. Maybe, apparently there's a
director. Maybe he's an extra.
Apparently there's a director's cut of this movie floating around, which everybody says is much better.
Oh, great.
So maybe.
Oh, really?
He's
I never heard of this movie.
Yeah, but it's also got.
Right. Sounds interesting.
It's got Tony Cox.
But this will cheer people up.
Yeah, what?
In 2017, Spuds McKenzie made a return in a Bud Light ad for Super Bowl LI. What would that be?
51, dude. What am I?
Yeah, it's Super Bowl.
Roman
I don't know.
Rules.
Yeah,
wait, is that because I'm Italian? Dude, that was
that was a woke. Yeah, pizza. So Spuds McKenzie made a return in a 2017 Super Bowl ad where... Okay, get this. I don't remember this ad when it came out, and I just watched it, and it's just so not fun. It is equivalent to when they rebooted the Where's the Beef campaign, which we talked
about. Hipsters
in Austin. It's like, I'm looking for a vintage Where's the Beef t-shirt. And it's just so not fun. And this commercial's equally not fun. So it's an ad featuring a ghost helping a man, Brian, reunite with his friends, you know, as a homage to Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. And the ghost is Spuds McKenzie. It's a ghost dog who's voiced by actor Carl Weathers from, you know, Apollo Creed from Rocky.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just kind of disturbing.
Yeah.
It's not fun.
No.
It's not funny. You see a dead dog in the commercial.
Yeah, and there's
with Carl Weathers' voice. It's like, you know, Spuds McKenzie never talked.
And there's no.
But he did. Yeah. And as we know, Spuds McKenzie was actually a girl.
Yeah, and there's no Spudettes, dude.
Hello, Brian.
Spuds McKenzie? What are you doing here?
My soul can't rest when people don't drink Bud Lights with friends.
Oh.
Now, at this very moment, your friends are hanging out and you're missing it.
I just didn't think that it was like a big deal, you know?
Brian, listen.
Yeah.
I'm a man. You're a man. Take my leash. I need to show you something.
Whoa!
I don't remember it. You probably don't remember it. It's just a very, very unforgettable, you know. Again, it's just like you could just reprise the whole, you know, premise, you know. Spuds enters a party and the party begins.
Yeah. No, that was it.
Simple formula. That was their go-to. All you had to do is reprise that.
Like, yeah.
No, they thought dead dog voiced by Rocky's opponent.
That's gonna
be a hit. And they must have spent, like, you know, a few million on it.
Of course.
That Super Bowl ad.
Oh, advertising.
Oh, boy. So, Scott, any takeaways on the history of Spuds McKenzie and his place in comedy history?
You ready, Harmon? Three words.
Yep.
Save your money. That's it, man. Fame comes and goes, man. They'll throw you under the bus the minute they can get a chance. So.
Ooh, and in this case, it's a dog being thrown under the bus.
Yeah, just like they did with Miller Lite, with the Miller truck.
Yeah, the Miller Lite people. Wait, let me just see if I can find that ad real fast.
I think they said it was just on their trucks. They would just have a picture of it, yeah.
Dead dog. Okay, I'm just going Miller Lite, dead dog, Google image.
Dude, don't. I hope nobody ever looks at your history, your search history.
Well, they are, dude. Everyone looks at our history.
That's right, dude.
Because we have no privacy whatsoever unless we're on the dark web.
Yeah. Oh, man, he was in. So to go back to Tony Cox, he was in Captain EO.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
The Michael.
So, any other takeaways? Any other takeaways on Spuds McKenzie?
No. Go see Rented Lips, Split Lips. Well, Robert Downey Senior Junior movie is with Spuds in it. See if you can find Spuds. Let us know. Let us know the time code or send us a screen capture, and we'll add it to the article.
Hear, hear. And with that, I think that wraps up our history of Spuds McKenzie, the original party, the Ayatollah Partyola. So that means it's time to plug away. Scott, what do you have to plug?
Well, Harmon, I don't know if we particularly have anything to plug. Well, I can plug one thing.
What do you mean, dude? We don't have anything to plug?
Well, dude, we have our other podcast called This Is the President.
We didn't make a film.
Yeah,
that's
but we
play somewhere.
We don't know if it's going to be shown anywhere. Theoretically, our latest film called Betrayal will be showing at the Tribeca Film Festival in New York City in April. April 16th is the premiere date, so. We hope that's happening still. Fingers crossed. But I guess we'll know more at some point.
Oh, dude.
I know.
It's going to happen. It's not a parade. It's not St. Patrick's Day play. It's just people in a movie theater.
I wish I could be more positive about things, Orvin.
Okay.
Well, there's that. You know, it might not happen. I don't want people to go and buy tickets and then show up and be all disappointed at us and get angry.
Well, they'd be disappointed at the Tribeca Film Festival,
okay, well,
or coronavirus,
or
Trump, or Mike Pence,
or China,
in charge of the crisis.
Yeah, China state-run news media. That's what they could be mad at. Yeah. But if we also have our other podcast called This is a President, where we discuss all things presidential from President's Way in the past all the way up to and including the, as Harmon likes to put it, orange fuckface and currently in the Oval Office. That's This is the President. You can find us wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Also on YouTube as well, This is the President. Harmon?
Here. Yes. And for me, next Thursday, March 19th, 7 p.m. at the Red Room in New York City, I have my monthly storytelling show, Tale, bringing you the finest in New York storytelling, so come on down for that. Also, be sure to comment, like, and subscribe to Comedy History 101 wherever you get your podcasts or on our sites, Comedy History 101, or Instagram, or Twitter, and we will actually read your comments here on the podcast.
So do we have any for this time around, Harmon?
As a matter of fact, we do. Okay. We have a comment from one Craig Kupros on our history of National Lampoon's Lemmings.
Okay.
So Craig says, I have a ticket stub from the National Lampoon Lemmings live show at the Century Theater in Buffalo, New York. The show took place in December, but the rest of the date is not on the stub. Anyone who has more information, please send it to me at Chaz1023@yahoo.com.
Wow, okay,
thanks.
Cool. Yeah.
And I guess cool. Yeah.
You can find that comment over on our site at Comedy History 101. National Lampoon's Lemmings article or podcast episode?
Yes, exactly. As stated, it was on our history of National Lampoon's Lemmings.
Okay, just wanted to make sure. I'm directing the
stage show that started Saturday Night Live.
Okay, all right.
With almost the same cast.
Exactly.
So once again, thank you for tuning in, and we will see you next time. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Good thing about doing comedy in Russia, you have captured audience.
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Comedy History 101.